Pixel, guess what?
What, Paige?
Okay, so I came up with this really awesome idea of stuff to do, or stuff, like a series to do on my book Instagram page.
Nice.
I decided that I'm going to consume this summer as much sapphic media as I possibly can, and I am calling it Sapphic Summer.
I'm dripping. Continue.
So, books, movies, TV shows, music, video games,
Yes.
anything. If it's media and it's got two girls or more than two girls or anything
The Last of Us
sapphic.
2. You gotta play The Last of Us 2, which means you gotta play The Last of Us 1.
I don't know if I can do
The
that.
Last of Us
Those are
2 is
scary,
sapphic.
aren't though?
They
Aren't they?
there's fucking. There's two ladies fucking.
Right, but I gotta kill zombies and stuff though, don't I?
Yeah, whatever.
I'm so stressed.
Do it for the lady love.
I am gonna do Life is Strange.
Okay, excellent.
And the only other one that I saw like a list of a bunch of and the only other one that I was like, oh, okay, would have been Stardew Valley, because you can
You
like
can't,
marry whoever
yes.
you want there, which is awesome. But like I already play Stardew Valley, so like maybe I'll play that too.
There's
But
an easy mode for The Last of Us that like if you have had fun playing Resident Evil, if you have managed to have fun at
I
all.
haven't played it again since that second time I played. It's so stressful, and it just like
But the game for The Last of Us, and especially in 2, because there's a trans character, there's gay
I
characters,
know.
like it's so it's worth it. Let me
Okay, we'll
work
see.
it.
But that means I gotta buy the
Flip it
game.
and revert. Just
Oh
come
my
to my
God.
house. You are well. Listen, if you're coming over to play The Last of Us, you are welcome any fucking middle of the fucking night. I will get up and let you in
Could
to
you
play The
imagine
Last of
like 3
Us.
a.m.?
I
Hello?
yes, I can. I'm down.
Pop-Tart will probably still be awake, so it's
Jesus
fine.
Christ, that's not even untrue.
She'll just sit there with me. We'll play The Last of
Honestly, well, that's funny you say that because there's a bit about her watching us play games in this upcoming episode, which is also a game episode.
Heck yeah!
Today we have a special treat for you, an episode that was co-written by myself and my husband, Game Boy. He helped me write this. This is a game that is near and dear to his heart and my heart. A game that he introduced me to, and that I do not have the time to replay with everything going on in my life right now. So I picked his brain because he's played
Okay.
it more times than I have. I have played this twice, but
Okay.
he's played it more and more recently, so he remembers it a little better. Picked his
Gotcha.
brain. We sat down together. We wrote this episode. The game in question is none other than Dead Space.
Bum bum bum.
So without any further ado whatsoever, let's survive. I know you're looking at my notes and I specifically spelled it HW whatsoever. I don't like you knowing my secrets of my manuscripts. This is, and
Everything
also,
is fake.
this is further ado. This is the further ado I said we would avoid. Let's rock this bitch, okay? Dead Space is originally a 2008 sci-fi horror game developed by EA Redwood Studios. Sorry, EA Redwood Shores and published by Electronic Arts. It was remade in 2023 by Motive Studios and published again by Electronic Arts. We're going to be talking about the remake, which honestly, it's more of a remaster than a remake. It is
Okay.
really, 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 really close. The biggest difference is not even gameplay or story. The biggest difference is the fact, like, other than that, it's like 15 years later and it looks nicer and everything plays smoother.
Right.
It's the fact that in the original, Isaac, the main character, is totally silent, unvoiced, and he gets a voice actor in lines in the remake,
Cool.
which is a positive change as far as I'm concerned. So you are Isaac Clarke, an engineer working on what is essentially a rescue boat, but for spaceships. You get a distress signal from the USG Ishimura, USG standing for United Spacefaring Guild, which I must be the only person that knows that because I looked it up for this episode. Like the person who wrote that and me, it's just the two of us, the only people that know that. So when you arrive, the pilot of your rescue ship assumes that the landing bay of the Ishimura is going to be free and clear for landing because they called for help.
Okay.
Joke's on you, motherfucker. It is not. There's debris and shit all over the place. So you crash land. Yep. Your ship crashes. It's super broken now.
Super broken.
You are not able to find any people on the ship. Not initially, anyway.
Oh.
So Isaac goes off on his own to get a readout from one of the Ishimura's computers in like the Mechanics Bay place. And while he is gone, like they got a distress signal. It didn't say what was wrong. It was just like a bat signal in the air.
Yeah.
They don't have no idea what's going on. While he's gone, one of his other crewmates, Chen, is killed immediately by a monster.
Oh.
The presence of the monster. I know. He's there for no time at all, and then he's dead.
R.I.P.
The presence of the monster triggers a quarantine door to close, separating Isaac from the rest of the group. The other three crewmates are the pilot, who stays with the rescue ship and works on fixing it, Hammond, and Kendra, who are currently stranded until Isaac can get the ship's like train system up and running. Because the ship is so big, you need a train to get from one end.
Okay.
Like a tram, I guess is a better word. The monster that killed Chen is called a necromorph.
Okay.
Necromorphs are amalgamations of dead tissue that exist to create more dead tissue.
Okay.
So basically, they are made up of the dead bodies of the people who are on the ship, and they like killing people to make more dead bodies, to make more necromorphs. The reason the dead bodies started doing all this shit in the first place, instead of just decomposing like good, respectable dead bodies, will be revealed later. So anyway, Isaac makes his way into the medical ward, which is not living its best life right now. Medical ward.
No.
It's a mess in there. But he's got to go there to retrieve the rig from the captain of the Ishimura. His rig being his, it's like a little everything device. It's his diary, his keys, his life support system. The mission sucks to do. There's lots of necromorphs to kill, but you get the captain's rig.
Okay.
Well, Isaac, and now he has keys. He can go wherever the captain can get him. Yep. While Isaac is exploring, just because he and Hammond and Kendra are physically separated doesn't mean they can't communicate through their spacesuit intercom thingy-doos. So it's at this point that Kendra tells Isaac that the ship is in decaying orbit, meaning it is spiraling closer and closer to the planet below, which is unwanted.
Right. So, we don't like that.
No.
Spaceships aren't supposed to do that.
No. It's supposed to just stay, and it's not.
Yeah.
So Kendra asks Isaac to go fix the engines to resolve that problem, which he does by crawling through them while they're filled with necromorphs and partially on. So there's like moving parts to avoid so as not to be chopped in half, etc.
Oh, okay.
This is also the point where you meet the Infector, which is a special daddy necromorph who is like a stingray looking bullshit thing, and he can turn all the dead bodies around it into necromorphs immediately.
Oh.
So you kill that one first, is the strategy.
Yeah.
Kill that one first. So Isaac gets the engines up and running, and afterwards Hammond contacts him and says, hey, great job, buddy, on the engines, but now we're moving again, and it seems we're headed straight for an asteroid field.
Oh my god.
So it would be great if you could stop that. Right after that call, Isaac gets a cryptic call from his girlfriend, Nicole.
You can get regular phone calls in the space world?
No, it's through his suit because Nicole has heretofore been missing because she was aboard the Ishimura.
Oh.
That is why Isaac took this mission when the distress signal came through, not just to do his job and rescue the ship's crew, but because his girlfriend is there, and he wants to rescue her, and he loves her, and he hasn't seen her in 9 months because she's been on this mission on the Ishimura.
Yeah.
But during this call, all Nicole says is, make us whole.
I don't like that!
You do eventually run into Nicole in person, which I'm not going to like list every time you see her, but she's around. You see her. She is not acting right. She's not being herself.
Mm-mm.
But also,
doesn't surprise me.
Then also, like, you're in a strange situation. Uh-huh. Like, there's just shit going on. So Isaac just kind of brushes it off and keeps going. But your paths do cross several times throughout the game.
Okay. Interesting.
So anyway, Isaac goes, finds the ship's asteroid defense system, turns it on. Then he has to program it to defend from asteroids for some goddamn reason, even though that's literally in
that's
the program.
That's his only job.
Like, he's a fucking engineer. Why does he got to teach the asteroid fighting robot how to fight asteroids?
That's its job.
It's in its name.
It's asteroids.
You got to teach
it. Asteroid machine.
You got to teach it how to do it.
Doesn't know how to get rid of asteroids.
I don't know how to get rid of asteroids. I would have to figure out and then teach it.
Yeah, that doesn't make any sense.
Whatever, Isaac does it.
He's got it.
Yep.
He's got it unlocked.
Does that. As soon as he's fucking done, Isaac can't catch a fucking break. As soon as he's done, he gets a call from Kendra, who is saying that, hey, oxygen levels throughout the ship are plummeting because there's this thing. It's poisonous. It's contaminating the air. It's coming from the hydroponics deck. Be a deer. Go take care of that. But in order to take care of that problem in hydroponics, Isaac has to go back to the medical bay to create a poison to counterpoison the thing that's poisoning them.
Wow. The poison for Cusco.
Yes, Cusco's poison.
Cusco's poison.
Absolutely. While there, Isaac meets a surviving doctor that has taken it upon himself to start treating the necromorphs.
They're dead.
Specifically, he's giving them some sort of special doctor treatment that makes them able to regenerate when they're wounded.
Why would he do that?
He's doing that because this doctor is a unitologist.
A what?
Unitology is a religion that worships an artifact called the marker. It's kind of like Buddhism, and that the end goal is destruction of ego and division and total unity of all life. The thing is, their religion is tangibly, demonstrably true. You see, the marker is on the Ishimura, and it is causing the creation of the necromorphs. In unitology, all really will be one. Literally, physically, all dead tissue recombined into monsters that create more dead tissue. And the people that aren't killed are mentally manipulated to do whatever is necessary to increase the spread of the marker's influence.
Oh. Okay.
So anyway, you make the poison.
Uh-huh.
And you go to hydroponics. And you inject the poison into a bunch of awful gas-spewing necromorphs who are the source of the ship's overall oxygen problem.
Mm-hmm.
But your counter poison kills them and is transferred into the main body. You what? See, all of the necromorphs are somehow connected. And the hub of that connection is this giant boss-ass bitch called Leviathan. But because you've injected the poison into some of them, it makes its way back into Leviathan, which weakens it enough that Isaac can eject a big chunk of it into space.
Heck
after
yeah.
shooting it a whole bunch. So some damage done to Leviathan.
Good.
Good.
We like that, right?
We do like that.
Oh, good.
After this, Kendra notices that Isaac is not currently busy at the moment, so she calls him and tells him that she can't find Hammond anymore. Hasn't heard from him. Last she did hear from him, he was on the mining deck. See, Ishimura is a mining ship. They are docked on this planet. They're mining it. That's how they got the marker, was they were digging around in the earth. They dug up a marker. They brought it on board. Shit's been popping off ever since.
Hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds like they shouldn't be digging around in planets that they don't know nothing about.
Basically.
Mm-hmm.
Basically. So, Kendra asks him to go there, look for Hammond, because Isaac can fucking sleep when he's dead, I guess. He's got to go look for this other grown adult man.
Kendra, why can't you do it?
Just wait. Wait about this bitch. So, once there, Kendra calls and tells him to find a distress signal, put it on a chunk of planet, shoot it into space so somebody knows that they're there. Because the rescue ship definitely also needs to be rescued now.
Cool.
Also, Hammond is just nowhere to be found at the moment. Wow. Kendra then calls a third motherfucking time.
Oh my god, I hate her.
to tell him that the ship's transmitter is broken, so she can't send a signal out into space after all. She needs him to go fix it, which involves this, like, big, like, one of those, like, interlocking circle puzzles where you turn them and you got to get pipes to connect so that one end is connected to the other. You just got to do that while there's necromorphs trying to kill you is all.
Great. Transmitter. That's super easy.
And yeah, transmitter's fixed. They call the army. The army arrives. A necromorph immediately gets into their rescue ship and kills everybody on board. Immediately.
Bummer.
Kendra calls again. Tells you the army ship, which is now filled with the undead and therefore a bunch more necromorphs, likely has the parts needed to fix your rescue ship. I guess the army ship is crashed worse than your ship is, so stripping it for parts and fixing your ship makes more sense than just fucking fixing their ship, all while being fucking sliced like chip-chopped ham by necromorphs? I don't know. It's Kendra's plan. He goes, he gets the parts, brings them to the other ship. You fix the rescue ship.
Yay!
But when you're about to leave, another survivor on the Ishimura, another doctor, contacts you through the spacesuit and says, you need to get the marker off of this ship and return it to the planet below. You need to put it down there and bury it so that this doesn't spread. Basically, put it back where it came from.
Put that thing back where it came from.
Or so help me. Yes, exactly. So Isaac listens to the doctor, goes to get the marker off the ship. So this begins kind of like the end game sequence.
Okay.
You're trying to get the marker off the ship and drop it back down the hole from whence it came. Okay. When you do that, you find out that Dead Space is not just the name of the game. And a perfect name for a sci-fi horror game set in space. Yeah. It's also the term used to refer to the area immediately around the marker. An area which the necromorphs will not approach. And the closer you get to the marker, when you enter the dead space, the psychological effects of the marker increase exponentially.
What does the marker look like?
It's like a big stone monolith.
Okay.
Yep. One of the psychological effects of the marker is hallucinating that people are there when they're really not.
Uh-oh.
Do you remember that initial call from Isaac's girlfriend, Nicole?
Uh-huh.
And how I said she pops up from time to time throughout the ship.
Yeah.
Those are hallucinations.
Oh, man.
Nicole is dead, has been since before Isaac arrived. It was the marker that made him think she wasn't, to manipulate him into staying in the marker's presence, essentially. It fucks with you.
So how long's he been in with the marker?
They've been, the passage of time is fuzzy. They've been on the ship for hours trying to fix it and shit. I don't know. It doesn't take long for the marker. So the mark, they pull the marker onto the ship. Shit start getting wiggity immediately. They send out a distress signal.
Okay.
The marker doesn't need very much time.
So even though, so the hallucinations are just getting stronger once he gets into the dead space. It's been making him hallucinate the whole time.
Okay. Exactly.
I'm just, at first I was thinking he's like been in the dead space this whole time.
No, wait. But things definitely get worse and the necromorphs just will not approach the marker at all. Which isn't because like they exist because of it.
Right.
But they are not getting anywhere near that thing. So, you get the marker back down to the planet. No, in order to get it to the planet, you got to move it through the mining facility with, like, conveyor belts and elevators and shit.
Oh, my God.
And as you go, there's, like, all these arenas with all kinds of enemies, which I don't know why they built the mining facility like a series of boss battle arenas, but that's what they did. So, you get the marker to the edge of the ship. Mm-hmm. And Isaac's plan is to drop the marker off the ship, then drop a big old chunk of planet on top of it and bury it fucking forever.
Okay.
But it is at this late, late point in the game where you learn that Kendra, your crewmate, has betrayed you. The whole time, Kendra has been working with the government of Earth not to rescue the ship or its crew, but specifically to retrieve this marker, which she knew about before they got there the whole time and was her actual purpose for being there, and return it to Earth.
Why?
Because they think they can use it for power and control. Like, why? Why every sci-fi story where around with shit they shouldn't. Yeah.
You're right, though. Sorry.
Yeah, it's a tremendously stupid idea. Of course the Earth government wants to do it. But in trying to steal it, Kendra gets smashified by the Leviathan.
Good.
Yep.
Good.
You kill it, you drop the marker on the planet, and Isaac escapes in his original ship, the sole survivor. Trouble is, Isaac is still crazy. And the effects of long-term exposure to the marker like that are irreversible.
Oh.
The damage has been done. Isaac flies away, talking to his dead girlfriend, who he has forgotten is dead, even though he just learned it. He has forgotten that revelation. He's back. He's just back to tripping balls, probably forever.
Oh.
Which really sucks, particularly because before dropping the marker into the pit, it shoots a beam of light at his head. And contained in that beam is all the knowledge Isaac needs to make another marker.
Oh, that's not good.
And the main effect the marker has on its victims is to make them want to help the marker. Like a mind virus.
Uh-huh.
And that's where it ends, with Isaac flying off, perhaps to reap untold destruction on the universe.
What?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God.
My favorite moment.
Oh, my God. I hate this. That's sad. I don't want to be sad.
It's a downer.
Such a bummer.
Mm-hmm. My favorite part was, like, so the medical bay, mm-hmm. you have to go through there twice. The first time, it's just a mess because of the necromorphs. When you go back through it, all of these candles have been set up and it's been turned into like a shrine for the marker, because like all of the people on the ship who have survived, who are all fucking crazy and unitologists yeah. and warped by the marker,
uh-huh.
they have gathered together and are doing their religion thing in the medical bay. So you walk back and like witness this, and it's just like eerie and very much my aesthetic, like creepy evil cult. Aesthetic, yeah. My vibe.
Love
for
it.
Sure. None of these people survive all the way to the end, though. Isaac is the only surviving yeah. character. It's like, it's not really a gameplay section. I just like, I loved the setting both times. I liked how it was different both times. Yeah. The vibes were on.
Jesus, you're just going to walk back into this mess of a medical bay.
And it's like nice now, but creepy, but kind of nice. The part where I wanted to smash the controller. The final boss battle almost made me renounce my faith entirely. Like, how could there be a good God under these circumstances? This is where you fight Leviathan, which is that giant mm-hmm. hub necromorph. It looks like a sandworm. It comes up out of the ground.
Oh.
It's got five, so first time through, it's got 5 weak points that are kind of on its face, but it never fucking stops moving.
Right.
So you have to shoot all 5 weak points. The game doesn't tell you this, but about half of the weapons are totally useless against this boss.
Oh.
Eventually, you figure out what to use, and you hit all the glowy bits, and then a wave of other enemies comes out to fight you. So you fight all these enemies, you defeat them, and then Leviathan comes back with 5 newly restored glowy bits you have to hit again, but this time, they're not on its face, they're not accessible all the time, they're like inside of its like chest vagina, which is only open some of the time, and when Leviathan is closed for business, none of your weapons are getting through, so you just have to fucking survive and wait for the sandworm chest ussy to open again and time your shots exactly right. Also new in round 2 of the boss battle is Leviathan shoots lines of acid across the arena that you either have to dodge or get your fucking clock cleaned.
Oh.
So.
Okay.
If you hit all the vagina glowy bits, Leviathan will pick you up and wave you around like a little rag doll, and you have to hit one last glowy bit to kill it once and for all. This part was so hard, I literally cried. Like, I remember the first time I killed it for the first time, and I was like, fuck yeah, I did it. And then the fucker came back. Unacceptable.
Broken my television. That's just rude.
Also, just the fucking, the fucking shit icing on the cake is there is a long ass unskippable cutscene right before the boss. So every time I died, I had to rewatch the same bullshit every single time before getting a chance to retry the battle. And it didn't matter. Like if you made it to round two, if you die, if you die,
have to go back to the round one.
You have to go die to all the way back to the beginning. If you are one evil, glowy bit away,
that is evil.
It nearly killed me in real life. Character that I had a crush on. I do not have an answer to this question because the vast majority of the game, Isaac is by himself. So either you have a crush on Isaac, who is an empty vessel, like not a lot of personality there. You're just driving him. He's just a way for you to be on the ship, basically. Mm-hmm. He doesn't even have lines in the original. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
He's not real. Hammond is stupid. Kendra betrays you. Neither of them are in the game very much anyway, except for over the intercom. They just tell you to go fix shit that's broken. There's Nicole, who is also, like, actually dead the whole time and even barely in it in the hallucinations. I guess you could have a crush on the necromorphs if you're some kind of sexual deviant. I didn't.
Like a hear me out type of thing?
No, not even. There's no... Look up a picture of the necromorphs.
I don't know where my phone is.
They're bad. They're like bags of flesh with pointy bone things and limbs, and they're bad. They're not fuckable. I mean, look, fans, if you want to fuck a necromorph, that's your business. It's not my business. I do not consider them fuckable. And it's about who I had a crush on. That's the point. I'm not yucking your yum. I'm not doing that.
What about the Chestasy?
Yeah, that was my crush. Leviathan round two. I'm going to pop all your glowy bits, baby. Gameplay mechanics. So the cool part about this game for me is that there is no HUD. HUD stands for heads up display. It's basically the thing on the screen where it's like in one corner, it shows what your inventory is and it has your health bar in a corner and like the stuff that tells you there's none of that.
Oh, God.
No, but you still get all the information like the health bar and the power up bar. They're displayed on the back of your spacesuit. So like it's a third person game. So it's always shown, but it's like in the environment.
Interesting.
The map, like you physically open a map and look at it from Isaac's perspective. You go into your bag and pull out the weapons. I just think it is so much more immersive that way. Like the difference in not having that shit on the screen between you and the action.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just think it adds for a simple game. And the way they did it, the way it was designed to make sure like you still know everything you need to know.
Right.
I thought it was really cleverly done. Really immersive. Speaking of immersion, this game just feels incredibly violent. Between the graphics and the haptics and the sound design, like, you are slicing these fucking monsters to ribbons or blowing their fucking skin off. You're stomping their bodies to pulp with your gravity boots, which is also what you use to open boxes of goodies on the floor, because why fucking not? How do you open your Amazon packages page? I bet you stomp the shit out of them.
It's definitely.
So that's what Isaac does. It's bloody and it's gross and it's intense. And when Pop-Tart was a little beautiful baby, we used to play it at night to put her to sleep because nothing else worked. I'm totally serious.
None of that surprises me, actually.
Knocked her right the fuck out. Genuinely, it was that or we put on System of a Down music. That's all we could. That is the only thing that would make that child
just
sleep.
Always been like this.
She has always been like this. Those were our options. If we didn't do that, endless suffering till sunrise. Don't you fucking dare judge us.
No, I'm not judging you. You do it. If you need to get your baby to sleep and you know something works, you do that thing.
Highly violent video games is what
just
did it.
Is a very interesting thing. Also, how do you not have high blood pressure playing these games?
I have actually really, really good blood pressure, which is maybe why I'm like consistently.
I mean, I do too, but
110 over 70. I think that's how I manage. I'm just like chill.
Like I am just like listening to you talk about this and my heart rate is like,
it's a very effective horror game. Like some horror games are like horror by genre, but they don't actually like scare. This is intense. This game is intense.
These are all games. I feel like you described these games to me and I'm like, I would watch that movie. I'm not about to put myself in that situation, even virtually.
Well, if you've seen Alien or Event Horizon, you've basically seen this game.
Oh, I love Alien.
Okay. We'll kind of get more into it, but, like, it's not the most original thing. It's a bit derivative.
That's okay.
Right. I told you about the train, the tram.
Yeah.
That enables, not only does it make fast travel possible, but it, like, it adds to the idea that, like, this ship is fucking huge. If it is big enough to need a tram to get from end to end, like a goddamn airport.
Yeah.
Like, I am in a city in space.
Yeah.
And it just, I don't know, it really added to the scope of things. Having the train, it made it more convenient. Just go from place to place.
Yeah.
You also can, like, hit a button, and then this laser line will come out of your suit and lead you in the direction of whatever mission you have selected in the moment, which is incredibly helpful for my stupid ass.
Yeah. I would need that.
It's very helpful. So, again, because you're an engineer, you're going to a mining ship, you're prepared for a mining. Your crew prepared for a mining issue.
Right.
Because you don't, the president didn't say you're assuming they're miners, it's going to be a mining problem. So all of your weapons are mining tools, like space mining tools. You have a torch, which is for melting through shit, but it's good at killing stuff too.
Yeah.
You have a force gun, which is originally to, like, move heavy objects out of the way because it emits, like, a concussive blast.
Okay.
Will also fucking blow necromorphs to pieces.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We'll take the skin off of things. You have the Ripper, which is a big fucking circular saw that you can either hold in place as a close combat weapon, or you can shoot it at enemies like a boomerang and it'll come back to you.
That's fantastic.
Yep. Yep. You have the contact beam, which is, it's a laser for laser and shit, but it's like a really powerful laser. And then you have the plasma cutter, which is a thing that shoots plasma for cutting through things.
Okay.
That's the first weapon you get. It was my old faithful.
Nice.
That's, you know, I use this tool more than any other by far. The way to kill the necromorphs, because they're aliens, is not to shoot for their heads, which is like the go-to kill method for most games, unless there's glowy pus bubbles, like the monster at the end, like Resident Evil, in which case you definitely aim for those.
Uh-huh.
But in Dead Space, you have to remove their limbs to kill them.
Huh.
Which you can kind of figure out from a note early on, but if you miss the note or you don't read between the lines, it can take a while to figure out how to efficiently kill these motherfuckers.
Great.
There's also the line gun, which is like a bigger upgraded version of the plasma cutter. You also have a regular ass space rifle, but it's boring because it's not a mining tool.
That's
and the rest
lame.
Of it's super lame. I like never used it. I also can't neglect to mention that you can also use the enemy's limbs against them like a huge projectile once they've been cut off, which is brutal and satisfying. This game put Pop-Tart to sleep. There's also stasis and kinesis. It allows you either to slow things down a whole lot or to, like, telekinetically move big heavy objects with more precision than if you just blasted them with the force gun.
Okay.
Both of these are, like, add-ons to your suit that you have to find throughout the game. And they're used mostly for physics puzzles.
Okay.
Like, there's a door that's going haywire, it's slamming back and forth, you freeze it so you can get through to another room, whatever. To upgrade your suit or weapons, you find nodes, which are used to open doors, and the rooms behind them contain recipes for upgrades or more nodes or weapons or whatever, treasure rooms.
Mm-hmm.
You can also take the nodes to a workbench and plug them into, like, it kind of looks like a family tree or like a flow chart. And there's different upgrades at different points on the tree. And if you put a node in the spot where the upgrade is, you get the upgrade. But the thing is, because it's a flow chart, like, some upgrades are locked behind other ones. Like, you have to connect all the dots in a line to get to the upgrade you want. And some of the dots don't actually give you anything. You just got to spend a node to get closer. That's to the actual good upgrade, which is annoying because nodes are hard to find. They're not just fucking everywhere.
Yeah.
But if you're strategic, if you do it right, by the end of the game, it's worth it because you are stacked and jacked, my friend. But the typical progression of the game is you go into a room. There's no monsters in the room. You do your thing. You try to leave the room, Monsters are there all of a sudden. There's something you need to fix in order to get out of the room, which is now locked and full of monsters.
Oh.
And the fixing usually involves some kind of physics puzzle or like moving a battery that's powering the lights or the gravity or the oxygen to a place where it can power the door. Which means that some of the sections are done in zero gravity, which adds another layer of physics puzzle shit. Some of the sections are done on a time limit because you had to turn the oxygen off.
Yeah.
The no oxygen sections were also extremely stressful for me.
I don't like time
limits. No, not at all. I do not like time limits either. Mm. So this is a solid game. Sorry, I just breathed my water. This is a solid game. Overall rating.
I'm keeping that in.
Fuck you. It plays really nice. The gameplay is intuitive. You have some options as to what to do, but not so many that it's like overwhelming. Mm-hmm. The combat is interesting because the weapons are mining tools. It's like, yeah, it's weird shit.
That's fun.
It looks great. The way they did the no HUD thing looks great. The spooky space vibes are immaculate. It's like if Alien and Event Horizon had a high definition baby. No. That's what this game looks like. I like the space sound effects, the monsters, the tech. It all just sounds very like outer spacey and sci-fi in a way that I don't quite know how to describe. But it's also not corny or campy. It's like, I don't know. It's just really well done. The story is a little derivative.
That's okay.
It's like, oh, hey, this ship is broken. Let's check it out. And holy shit, what the fuck are those? That's the whole. There are several sci-fi things that are just that. It's alien. Like, even the monster name is almost the same. They're xenomorphs and alien. They're necromorphs in this game.
Right. That's okay.
The twist is decent with the marker and the cult. Like,
yeah.
I love a cult. Give me a cult.
I love cult shit.
Me too. You know what, listeners at home, if you meet me IRL, God, for the love of God, ask me about Jim Jones. I love talking about Jim Jones.
Oh, dear God.
Anyway, the gameplay does get a little repetitive. You're in a room. Oh, no, we're trapped. Oh, no, monsters? Let's move the battery around. But, you know, I still had a lot of fun playing it. It spooked me, legitimately spooked me a time or two. So I give this game an 8 out of 10.
All right.
All right, you can fucking find us on Instagram if you want to.
Heck yeah.
Page and Pixel PC. You can message us. You can comment. You can only say nice things to us, though.
Yeah. Oh, and give suggestions if you have a piece of sapphic media that you super, super love. I want to know about it. So let me
Rent.
Know.
Just watch Rent.
I could watch Rent as one of my things. How do you measure?
So anyway,
read hard,
play hard, and fuck necromorphs.
But not actually.